I want to thank you for coming tonight. One of my key quotes I can't find because it's lost, but I will quote it as best I can without the exact quote. I'm pretty sure it's in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Nuna Amud Beis, or somewhere around there. That's what I was told. I haven't seen it myself directly. It's a very interesting statement that people tend to forget after a period of 12 months. Statement in the Gemara. Adam mishkachat et halev achar yud beis chodesh. And for this reason, it is cited by one particular commentator that we have to read the Pasha of Amalek at least once a year. There are others who disagree with him and say we have to actually remember Amalek every day. Where's Bela? But the opinion of this commentator is that you have to say it once a year. Additionally, I think it's a good indication of why we observe a yahrzeit. This concept that memory, the heart's memory lapses after 12 months, I think is a very good indication of why we have yahrzeits. It's almost to say that we're obligated to remember within a 12-month period. With that in mind, we're sitting here to remember my father-in-law, Harav Yaakov Bar Chaim Yosef Benjamini. I call him my first teacher in adulthood. And it turns out that Shuli's uncle, Chaim Ozer Ben Michal
Lazer,
was also Nifter on this day, the second day of Adar. And he was Nifter, I was told, in a leap year, so it's particularly fitting that we're mentioning his name here. And to remember the good works that they did and the wonderful people that they were. In this vein, now these notes that I've given you are really notes for myself, but I'm letting you peek in and look along. Don't be frightened, we're not going to cover all of the material, and probably if I can't get to my conclusions you can read them, but if you read them too fast they won't have the impact that I hope they're going to have. In any event, we are told in the Tosefta, Rabbi Akiva, Hu Haya Omer, he would say, Ha'av Zoche Leven, Benoi, Uva Koach, Uva Osha, Uva Chachma, Uva Shanim, Uva Mispar, Hadarot Lefanav. Vuhu HaKeitz, Shine'ema Korei Hadarot Meirosh. Very interesting statement. I had never seen it before this year. You could find it in Rabbi A. Bezdin's book on the Reflections of the Rav, his second volume, where he fills out the concept. Rabbi Akiva states, a father endows his son with good appearance, with strength, riches, wisdom, longevity, and mispar hadarot lefanav, which we will translate as the number of generations before him, those people who had come before him. So it's a very strange statement when you think about it. I can understand a father, you inherit through your genes the way you look, if you're strong or you're weak, if you're big, if you're small, riches we inherit from our parents sometimes, or spiritual riches certainly, wisdom, longevity, if your father or your grandfather were long-lived, so hopefully you have a chance of being long-lived. And then in that group is Mispar HaDarot Lefanav, the number of generations before him.
Say it once more.
Count. There's an expression. It's a count of the generations.
Yeah.
Count of your forefathers. Meaning it's more than just the number of them, but also what they've done.
That's good.
Accomplishments.
I like that. I think that's well said. So, in line with what Bobby says, we all know Pirkei Avos, and in the first parak, we have the concept of Hadarot Lefanav in the whole flow of the parak. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and Musara LaHoshua. He passed it on to Yahushua, VaHoshua LeZakenim and the Zakenim, and Yahushua to the elders, UZakenim LeNeviim, the elders to the Neviim, the prophets, and the Neviim, Misera Uha LaAnshei Knesset HaGadolah. And the Neviim passed it on to the men of the Great Assembly. And then it goes on, Hem Amru Shlosha Devarim. But this beginning, the opening of Pirkei Avos, always it attracted me in words that I, for reasons I couldn't understand, probably until I came across this concept of Hadarot Lefanav, which Robbie explained, I think, better than I did. They handed down the Torah from generation to generation in intact, or, you know, more or less, because Torah, Moshe presumably had more, and it said that at his death, 3,000 mitzvot were lost, 3,000 halachot, I think the term is used, were lost during the period of mourning for Moshe. But it was handed down from one to the next. And so this concept of Chazal preserving for us an eternal Torah, by the way, which cannot be added to, or subtracted from. Lo tosifu al hadava asher anochi mitzaveh etchem, v'lo tigru'u mimenu. Lishmor et mitzvot Hashem elokeichem, asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. You shall not add unto the word which I shall command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Throughout the generations, care was taken to preserve the Torah exactly as it was given to Moses. The scribe is thus given the advice, and this is a quote from Gemara Sota, from Erevin and Sota. The scribe is given the advice, be careful with your task, for it is sacred work. If you add or subtract a single letter, you will destroy everything. So what I want to say is that we have a concept of an eternal Torah handed down by Chazal, who, in effect, in our modern computer language, they become the memory banks of the Jewish people. In Ha'azinu it says, She'al avicha v'yagedcha zekeinecha v'yomulach. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will speak it unto you. So avicha stands for the Nevi'im, the prophets, according to Rashi and the other Chazal, and the Zakenim stand for the Rabbanim, and they are the transmitters of the tradition. Of course, a central feature in the memory banks of the Jewish people is the Shabbat itself, and I think you would all agree that without the Shabbat, there would be no Jewish people, although I couldn't really, I didn't have time, or I'm not sure I can find a quote to substantiate that. We do have a statement from the Rav, from Sadia Gaon. We have the famous statement, Ein Yisrael Uma Ela B'Torah. Israel, there wouldn't be any Jewish nation without the Torah. But obviously, if you have the Torah, so we have what's in it too. And what's in it is a statement in Yitro, Lo ta'asu kol melacha. Matter of fact, I Xeroxed that in the back. I have the pages numbered. The English ones, the pages are on top in the type itself. In the back part, the numbers are on the lower right-hand corner. And I just want you to see where that lo ta'asu kol malacha is. If you remember, actually I didn't Xerox the whole thing because I just Xeroxed everything about a half hour ago. But I think it's page 8, isn't it? Is it page 7? Oh, good. Thank you. Keep helping me. So if you remember, this is Kiddush Rabbah that we say at Shabbos lunch, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Sheish Yomim Tavod V'asit Kol Malachtecha V'Yom HaShvi Shabbat L'Hashem Elokecha. Lo Ta'aseh Kol Malacha. Don't do any work on Shabbat. That's it. So we all know that we have to keep Shabbat. But of course, when we investigate that, it is precisely when we investigate what we have to do on Shabbat, the strange thing is that the Chumash doesn't tell us. It's only in the Mishnah that we are apprised as to what the specific malachot are. So I Xeroxed that page in the Mishnah just so you could see it. I don't want to read all, you know, to list all 39 malachot, but on page 11, you'll see Avot Malachot Abaim Chaser Achat. There are 40 Avot Malacha, principles of Malacha, there are 40 prohibitions on Shabbos, less one. And that is the way Mishnah states it, and it goes on, just listing them: Hazoreh, Vachoresh, Vakotzer, Hamamer, Hadash, Vahazora, Habora, Hatochein, and we can go on and list them. I'm sorry, this is not in your handout because I didn't put the yellow sticker on this page. But it says in the Gemara in Shabbos 49b, Kod etnan avot malachot abeim chaser achat. So it simply quotes the Gemara, and it says, "Kneged me." We have 39 prohibitions of Shabbat which have the status of an av malacha, and how do we know they're 39? So, and how do we enumerate them? How do we even begin to list them? Amar lehu Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama says, "Kneged avodat haMishkan," that it's against the various malachas that you did in the Mishkan. And the Gemara goes on that there's an argument. There's a machlokas. I believe it's machlokas Rishonim. What the malachat haMishkan is? Is it the avoda, the actual sacrifice, making of sacrifices, and the various activities that go into making the sacrifices, or is it the actual building of the binyan, the mishkan, the binyan hamishkan? So the question is it avodat hamishkan or binyan hamishkan? So there's that machlokas. But basically, and then you have two separate shitot. Those who hold it's binyan hamishkan will list all the 39 malachos according to binyan hamishkan, and those who believe it's Avodat HaMishkan will make a separate listing with some differences as to what an Av Malacha is based on that concept. So, and then the Gemara goes on, Ein Chayavim Ela Al Malacha Shekiyotzei Ba Haitam HaMishkan. You're only Chayav on those Malachas that were in the Mishkan. And it goes on, Hemzaru V'yate. Hemzaru v'atem lo tizru. If they planted seeds in order to build the Mishkan, and you'll ask me, well, how could that be? But in that case, I can tell you that they had to plant seeds in order to grow plants to get the dyes to dye the skins that were used, and the other items, the curtains, the yiriot that were built, used in the Mishkan. So they had to plant, because they needed plant products in order to build the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, if they planted, you don't plant. Hem katsru, if they reaped, v'atem lo titsru, then you don't reap. And it goes on. They did this, then you don't do that. And that's how we learned the 39 malachot. Now, in the Yakel, which I did quote, for you, and it's page 9. We see that the question is, where did the Rabbanim come up with the idea that we can go to the concept of Mishkan to get a listing of 39 Malachot? So if you look at the Yakel, and you have to see it to understand, it's one thing to talk about Smichut HaParshiot, the chapters or the paragraphs being adjacent to one another, but it's very striking. The Yakel Moshe at Kol Adat B'nai Yisrael, Moshe brought all of B'nai Yisrael together, the Yomei Aleihem, and he said to them, Eila HaDavrim Asher Siva Hashem La'asot Otam. These are the things that Hashem commanded you to do. Sheishit Yamim Te'aseh Malacha. For 6 days you'll do Malacha or work. U'b'yom HaShvi'i Yiyah Lachem Kodesh. The seventh day will be to you holy. Shabbat Shabbaton Lashem. It'll be a Shabbos to Hashem. Kol Ha'oseh Bo Malacha Yumat. Whoever does Malacha on that day will be deserving of death. Lo tava'aru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. And by the way, don't light any fires on that day. Ve'yomer Moshe al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, the very next line, le'mor, Moshe says to b'nei Yisrael, saying, Zeh ha-davar she'tziva Hashem le'mor, this is what God commanded us, k'chu me'ivchem truma l'Hashem, take an offering for Hashem, call Nadiv Libo, Yaviyah, whatever anyone wants to give us, we'll take, at Trumat Hashem, Zahav, Akesav, and Nechosha. Zahav, gold, silver, and copper. And it goes on, now you're into the Binyan HaMishkan. So the rabbis have said that because of this juxtaposition, the Smichot HaParshiot, that's where we get the listing of the 39 malachos. Now we just have, this is a hint in the Torah. Now all we have to do is look at the Mishkan and what went into it, and we'll know what the 39 malachot are. I am back on page 1 now. Or am I on page 2? I'm sorry. And I'm on line 10. But it would seem that there is only one Malacha out of all the 613 mitzvot which really has to do with Shabbos, with the Malachot of Shabbos, and that is Lo Ta'aseh Kol Malacha, which is what we saw that we say on in Kiddush on Shabbos afternoon, and I showed it to you just before. Okay, but that's good, but it's the same. No, it's not. I don't think so. It's in Yitro.
Yitro is Kabbalah. Yes, the Sarasa Dibris.
Okay.
And by Kanan. Is it here? What? Kanan, it's Shemara.
You're saying my quote was from the Aseret HaDivros?
Yes, of course.
For some reason I didn't realize that.
Yes, it's Sarasa Dibris. Let's just say Shemara Shemara Kephala Shavkila in Yitro 28. That's from the Sarasa Dibros.
He may be right. So let's assume that he's right. Don't answer it.
God doesn't
need. Okay.
Baylor, just close the door.
In any event, we have only one general prohibition, Lo ta'aseh kol malacha. And if it's repeated in various parts of the Torah, so it says Shemot to Shabbat, to remember Shabbos, because I want you to keep Shabbos.
The main prohibition.
Yes.
It takes everything under one umbrella.
Right. So, but the question is, if there's only one violation, how does that affect the listing of the 39 malachot? If I violate two malachot, am I liable for one punishment or two punishments? How do I count the violation? So, in Shabbat, in the Gemara Shabbat 67b, pretty sure that's page 15, we have the Mishnah. Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbat. There's a very a very general principle that is quoted concerning Shabbat. Kol ha-shochech ika Shabbat v'yasa malachot harbei b'shabbatot harbei eino chayav elachatat achat. If somebody forgets that it's Shabbos, or he forgets the laws that there, the law that there is a Shabbos, and he violates many Shabbatot, he's only liable for one violation. It all counts as one violation because he forgot the concept lo tasa kol melacha. Hayodeya ika Shabbat, but if he knows that the principle of Shabbat, yes, I know, I have to keep Shabbos, v'yasa melachot harbei b'shabbatot harbei, and he violated many Shabbosim, many different Shabbosim, chayav al kol Shabbat u'Shabbat. Then each violation counts as a violation in its own right. Hayodeya shehu Shabbat, somebody knows that it's Shabbos today. In other words, the second guy knew he has to keep Shabbos, but he might have forgotten what day is Shabbos, and it sort of every day runs into the next, and so he becomes liable for each violation. But if somebody knows it's Shabbos, v'yasa melachot harbei, b'shabbatot harbei, and he does many violations on many Shabbosim, chayav al kol av melacha u'melacha, then he is guilty. He is chayav for each violation, and ha'osem melachot harbei me'ein melacha achat, eino chayav elachatat achat. Somebody who does many melachot, many instances of the same melacha, many violations of the same violation, then he is only guilty once. Now, guilty, how do you figure guilty? I included the Rambam just to show you the concept on page 14 that malachot, if you violate a malacha, yachayev aleihem skila v'karet b'mezid. If you do them knowing that you're making a mistake, knowing that it's wrong, and you're still doing it b'mezid, then you are guilty and worthy of having skila v'karet and karet, stoning and being cut off from the Jewish people. But if you did it b'shkaga, if you did it by mistake, so then you're chayav a korban chatas, you're required to bring a sin offering, and these are for the avot malachot, as well as the toldot, which we haven't mentioned, and I have a feeling I don't expect to get to them in this talk. Now, if you go to Shabbos 70a, and that's page 16, sorry, let me see.
17.
The Gemara says, Chayav al kol melacha melacha, chiluk melachot minalan. If somebody is, if we have a statement that somebody is guilty for every single melacha, if I do zoreh, if I plant, and then if I do boreh, if I'm pulling two minim, two separate species apart, how do I know that I'm chayav twice, that I'm in violation twice? Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra Mechalaleha Mot Yumat. Shmuel says, I've summarized this on page 2, so I'm going to stay on page 2, but you can look at the Gemara there. Shmuel says that I know that I'm guilty for each of the 39 malachot separately from the pasuk in the Torah, Mechalaleha Mot Yumat. And that quotation, by the way, we have had already in the citations that I've given you from the Chumash. Maybe somebody can find it for me. There's a double lashon there, that if you violate the Shabbat, you are mot yumat, you are worthy of being died. Why do I have two words? because there's a double punishment. There'll be multiple punishments for different violations. But in that Gemara that I just cited to you, Rabbi Natan says, "Lo tava'aru eish b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-Shabbat." Rabbi Natan says, no, I get the idea that there is 39 malachos and 39 separate malachos from the statement "Lo tava'aru eish," which we've also had in the Chumash. It's interesting, nobody, when I said to you there's only one malacha stated in the entire Torah, nobody contradicted me. But we have a statement, "Lo tava'aru eish b'chol moshvotechem." Don't light a fire. And Rashi says, "Lo lamed al atzmo yatzah." This doesn't come just to tell us about itself, to give us a malacha. "Elo lamed al haklal kulo yatzah." It's trying to give us a general principle. The Torah didn't want to go and enumerate 39 malachot for whatever reason. So it gave us one example, which is "Lo tava'aru eish b'chol moshvotechem." And this is paradigmatic of the entire 39. Rabbi Yossi says, "Havara hu lav yatzat." Havara is only a lav. It's not a malacha on Shabbos. If I violate Havara, if I light a fire on Shabbat, I am not chayav skila and kares, if you recall, the Rambam said what we're chayav if we're in violation. Rabbi Yossi saying Havara is not even a malacha, so I take it out of the category. It's a lav. You're not supposed to do it, but if you do it, you're not chayav skila and kares. So the severity of the malacha, of the act of Havara, is taken away by Rabbi Yossi. So then, what does Rabbi Yossi do to derive 39 malachot? He says, if a person kindles a flame, well, that I've said, he uses a different pasuk, the asei achat mehena. And I'm pretty sure I have this in the back too. In my rush, I would have indexed all of this for you, but I was lucky just to have it photocopied. If you look, the panim shel pa'amim shechayavim achat al kulan upa'amim shechayavim al kol achat v'achat. Sometimes I am chayav on one malacha. I can violate two or three times, and I'm only in violation of one malacha. But sometimes I can make three or four violations, and I am guilty three or four different times. How do I know that? Achat means I can be guilty once for many. Mehena, I can be guilty many times for each one. What I wanted you to see here is that you have three Amorayim, and all three of them disagree as to what the source of Chiluk Malachot is in the Torah. Now, keep in mind what the progression that we've made. We've derived that we have 39 Malachot. We also know that the word malacha and derivative words of malacha appear 39 times in the Torah. We also have a statement that when Bnei Yisrael were working v'yavidu b'parach, that the Egyptians worked them very hard. There, I don't have it cited here, but there is a statement in the section of the Jews being in Mitzrayim, which alluding to the hard work of the Jews, which you can take that pasuk and you can count the number 39 out of that pasuk. So there are various ways that we get to the number 39. But even if you get to the number 39, I still have to know which 39. So that's where we got to smichu to pashiot. So we know that in Vayakel, the two paragraphs are together, binyan ha-mishkan and the prohibition, lo ta'aseh kol malacha. But now, what we want to know is, how do I know that each of the 39 malachot is a separate Esor, a separate Lav, a separate Malacha, with its own punishment in its own right. And each Amora gives me a different pasuk. Shmuel says Mechalaleha Mot Yumat. Rabbi Natan says Lo Tevaruesh B'chol Mosh Lo Techem. And Rabbi Yossi says Achat Mehena. And even to the point of contradicting Rabbi Natan by saying Havara is a lav, it's not a malacha. By the way, if I'm going to have separate malachas, this concept of chiluk malachot, and I have separate malachot, but there are two ways that I can have separate malachot. I can have, for example, going away from Shabbos for a minute, just to make the idea clearer. I can have eating dam and chelev. I can eat a certain fat that is usur. I can eat a certain I can eat the blood of an animal, and that's usur. And they are two separate isurim. That's clear. So I know that's called shemot muflakim. These are technical terms, but once you know the definition, the term shouldn't be frightening. But then I can have one violation of one malacha five different times. If somebody is ba'al chamisha nidot, if somebody is a nida, we're not discussing now nesuin, but if somebody's a nida, it's a violation to approach them. And if somebody happens, for whatever reason, has relations with five nidot, he requires five korbanot for each violation. That is gufan muflakan. So I still don't know. I still don't know which way to go with the 39 malachot. And at this point, I'm not going to go further into the concept of shemot muflakim and gufan muflakim, but it's a very difficult concept, and you have, again, the early people and the Rishonim arguing that the 39 malachot go this way or the 39 malachot go that way. We can either analyze them according to Shemot Muflakim, or we can analyze them according to Gufan Muflakim. By the way, I want to tell you that all of the technical part of this talk on Shabbat comes from Rabbi Sachs. This talk he delivered on 4/30/91. If anyone wants a copy of the tape, I have it. Whatever I've said that's correct tonight is attributed to him. If I've made mistakes, they're clearly mine. What I want to show to you is that we started tonight by talking about Hadarot Lefanav. And we talked about Chazal and how they transmitted the Torah faithfully from one generation to the next. We cited Pirkei Avos, and maybe more significantly we began with my beloved father-in-law who literally transmitted Torah to me. He was my first adult teacher, so that I relate to these concepts in a very personal way. And then we have Lotus Tosifu al Hadava Asher Anochi Matzava Etchem Velo Tigrumi Meno. You can't add to the Torah, you can't take away. So I don't understand what's going on. Here I have Rabbi Natan telling me that Chiluk Malachad is based on Lotuva Aru Esh Bechor Moshvo Techem. And I have Rabbi Yossi telling me Lo Tevaru Esh isn't even a malacha. It's just a lav. So how is it possible, if we were handed down the Torah from generation to generation, that there should be such machlokas, such arguments, not among people of today, but we're talking about Amorayim, who are cited in the Gemara. By the way, if you're asking what is the... I'm now on the bottom of page 3, and I'm not going to read all of this material to you. As I said, these are my notes, and if I had had time, I would have... The paragraphs would have been turned into lines, and I would have, you know, made them topics, but I just threw it in last night at 2 in the morning just to complete the booklet. What is the significance of Chiluk Malachot? You may think that this is all very abstract, and to some degree it is, but someone is not in violation of a Malacha on Shabbos unless he knows about it. And if he doesn't know about it, he needs warning. And I forget whether he needs warning. Maybe Bernard or somebody can tell me. Does he need warning from one or two people?
If he's going to be put to death, it takes two witnesses.
So it might take two. But he needs warning that he is going to commit a violation. And if he's going to commit violation, he needs hasra'a or hatra'a. But if he's going to, if he violates something, he's got to know.
He's got a shovel, he's putting his foot on it. Don't do that. It's in a, what?
Somebody sees him.
Do people have to see him about to do it and warn him
around?
That if you, well, that's why chorus.
But by the way, we're required not to warn people who we know are not going to listen to us. Because then at least they are violating the halacha.
How do you know they will not listen?
Well,
till you ask them.
Well, sometimes you know. Sometimes
I tell you something. You listen.
I'm going to listen. To the whole God, I'm going to do what I wanted.
But
I know that.
The assumption that when the Rabbanim talk about giving a warning, they're really talking about an ideal society where everybody is Shoma Mitzvos and Yirei Shemayim. And you know that they're going to listen to you, and therefore what the criteria for giving a warning is set up. But all I want to say here is that it comes in the area of what kind of warning has to be given that chiluk, that the argument between Shemot Muflakim and Gufan Muflakim takes on significance. And I'm not going to go into it tonight, and I'm close to finishing my talk with Paul. What do you want to say?
From this month, halacha comes out the Shabbos elevator. Electricity is fire. I don't know if you know it.
I'm listening.
With this halacha, the Hasidim made a Shabbos holiday.
It wasn't just
Hasidim. Because they, listen to me, and the problem is, in Israel, a goy doesn't work in the Hever Hashmal, only Jews. Here, you can have it, because goyim are working. A goy will not come in the Hever Hashmal in Israel if they make him go.
Okay. I am not qualified to discuss with you the specifics of malachot and what is an actual violation, especially in the modern day. But I'm trying to give you a bit of the theoretical background. But what I want you to think about is that, you know, when Rabbi Yossi comes and says Havara is not a malacha but a lav, that comes in the concept of being a chiddush. He's saying something new, and he may be saying something that wasn't said before. But then when he contradicts Rabbi Natan was also saying something new. And so we have the effect that different rabbanim, different authorities, for different reasons, will say opposite things using the same pasukim in the Torah. Of course, where that leaves us, I don't know. But what I want you to see is on the last page, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a statement in one of his talks, and I did put a mark down below where I'm going to start reading. The last page, and I don't have a translation, but I will translate it for you. It's a beautiful statement. Yadua Sha'af Sheh B'matan Torah Nitnu Kol Inyanei HaTorah Kula. It is known that at Matan Torah, the entire Torah was given over. Lo Rak Aseret HaDivra, not just the Ten Commandments, Ela Gam Torah Shebechtav Kula, but the written Torah, the entire written Torah was given over. B'yachad Im Perusheha. It was given over together with the commentary, with the oral law. But Torah Sheba'al Peh Kula Kolel Gam Kol Inyanei HaTorah Shenit Galu V'Nit Chadshu B'Meshach Kol HaDarot Ad L'Doreinu Zeh. And in fact, at Har Sinai, everything was given over, even those things which are going to become Chidushim new discoveries, new writings of Chazal in future generations, all of that was given over at Matan Torah at Har Sinai. Ka'am Ruzal, by the way, I wanted to remind you, most of you must know the Midrash of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's up in heaven, he's talking to Hashem, and he sees, or maybe he wasn't up in heaven yet, he was watching Hashem write the Ten Commandments out on the tablets. I forget exactly where the scene takes place, but he's talking to God. He says, what are these tagim doing, these little tags, these on the top of the letters? And Hashem says, well, I need these because somebody in the future is going to be mechadesh on them. He's going to develop new ideas based on these symbols, these tagim on the letters of the Torah. And Moshe says, oh yeah, I'd like to see this guy. What kind of Torah is he going to have? So Hashem says, no, snap, it's a snap, Moshe. He takes him and puts him in the class of Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe's sitting in the back, and Rabbi Akiva is talking and talking, and Moshe doesn't understand a word. And he's mortified and comes back to Hashem, what's going on? This is my Torah? I can't even begin to understand what they're talking about. Shemot Muchlakim and Gufan Muchlakim. Where is that in my Torah? You know, even Smichot HaPashiot, maybe, I don't know whether Moshe knew it. I guess he wrote the Torah. So, but certainly we don't have anything in the Torah relating to Gufan Muchlakim and Shemot Muchlakim, or the concept that there are 39 separate malachot altogether. So the question is, you know, so the Rebbe says everything was given at Matan Torah. And I'm telling you, at least I totally agree with the statement, and it's a very strong statement in Chazal. I used to think when I was just starting out to learn, you know, it's very nice, these old timers, I like to think everything was given at Har Sinai. You mean Rashi wrote nothing new? Tosafot? The entire Mishneh Torah of Rambam, nothing's new in there? The tour Shulchan Aruch, I'm pointing to where we have it in the house, the regular Shulchan Aruch, 1,000 years of literature from the Sadia Gaon till today, nothing new is written? Is it possible? So, in any event, that was the initial inspiration for this talk. And then, just to finish off with the Rebbe, Kamuzal, remember he said that everything, even that which will be revealed by future generations, was given at Har Sinai. Kamuzal, and we have a quote for the Gemara now, Afilu, and I'm on the top where the Gimel is on the last page of my handout, on the top line on the left-hand column. Afilu Masha Talmid Vatik Atid L'Chadesh. Even what a veteran Talmud Chacham is going to say that's going to sound new to you, Ne'ema L'Moshe Misinai, was said to Moshe at Sinai. Harei Zeh Ba'Ofen She'B'Matan Torah Nu Bi'Ikar Klalei HaTorah. But the point is, the Rebbe goes on to say, if I'm translating him right, that they were given to Moshe in the form of klalei haTorah, principles of Torah. Umeham bi al yadam, and with those principles, tzurichim legalot ulahotzi ribui pratei ha'inyanim shebaTorah. With these principles of deduction, the principles of logic, the Shloshesrei Midot and the Shloshim Ushtayim Midot of Rabbi, I forgot who, but okay, you know which I'm referring to. With the use of these Midot, Tzurichim Legalot, then we are required to reveal ulahotzi ribui prate ha'inyanim shebet Torah. We are required to bring out all the hidden meanings in the Torah. V'ad she'prat zeh she'nitgaleh al yedei talmid batik. Until this particular inyan or chidush or prat is revealed by a veteran Torah scholar, hu chidush shalom. But this is a chidush. He's saying something new. The Sadya Gaon said new things. The Rambam said new things. The Torah said new things. And Yosef Cairo, he said new things. My father-in-law, Allah Hashalom, said new things. How do we understand it? The Rebbe says elsewhere, and I don't know where, but it's in this talk here, that as we bring the words of the Torah, as we reveal new chidushim in the Torah, we are literally bringing the Torah from galus to Geula. We are liberating the Torah. We also have the pasuk in the Torah. I knew I forgot something. This is the best part. It said, we have it in Devarim that ulalanu. Maybe somebody can help me. Ulalanu ulavanenu kol devrei haTorah hazot. Right. But that which is not revealed to us, Anistarot, Lashem Elokeinu. Right? I think most of you know the quote. That which is revealed is ours. That is the Morasha Kehilat Yaakov. That belongs to us. That which hasn't been revealed before the Rambam wrote, that belonged to Hashem. And it was in Galus. But now when the Rambam wrote his beautiful Mishnah Torah, He redeemed those areas of the Torah and brought it to Geula. And so I think we can say that as, and by the way, there's another statement, Chayav kol adam v'adam la'asal pru urvu b'Torah k'shem shehu alsa pru urvu in his personal life. Just as a person has to procreate and have children, he is also required to have chidushim in Torah. And it says Adam, it doesn't say Talmud Chacham. We're all entitled to work on Torah and to bring out chidushim. And even if they're not, even if what I've said was said 100 years ago or 500 years ago by somebody, and I don't even know that he said it, but at least it's new to me. So it's a chidush. And I have redeemed and taken that part of the Torah for myself, for my Morasha Kehilat Yaakov. Eshkar.